You will be able to quote Psalm 100 before you're done today. Our Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
When I was in seminary during the summer, I had my church job, which was a weekend commitment on Saturdays and Sundays, and so there was some time of preparation through the week as well, but it was mostly that it was on the weekend when I was working, and I would usually take a summer class, which was an intensive kind of thing that would go about a month, but then I would have about 2 months where I would have some free time during the weekdays, and time to kind of just do whatever I chose to do, and it was nice to, and I was conscious at the time, I thought, when else in your life are you going to have a space like this where you can just kind of do whatever you want for the weekend, and it was nice just to have that space. But there was one man at the church, when summer started, he came up to me, he said, "So, are you a man of leisure now?" And I thought, well, I never thought to put it that way, but I think you're right. And so I decided, though, I said, well, I don't want to just waste away these days. I want to use them somehow. And so I decided I was going to volunteer. And so I volunteered at the Fort Worth Nature Center, this big natural area on the edge of the city. And it was one day a week I would go out there and work. And it was fun to go out there and to be among nature. The highlight of it was they had a herd of buffalo, and I got to feed the buffalo. We'd go out there in a truck, and the buffalo would run alongside us. And you'd hold out an apple, and they'd eat the apple out of your hand. And so that was the highlight, which was fun. But a lot of the time when I was there, I'd come in for my day to work. They didn't know what to do with me. They said, "Oh, Jason's here today. Okay, well, what do we do? What do we give him to do?" And they'd find something for me to do. And oftentimes, what they would decide, because they couldn't think of anything else, was they would put me on trash pickup. Like this. So I would go, and they had these public roads that people could drive through, and so people throw trash. And so I would go along these roads with a trash bag and one of those poker sticks with, you know, the stick with the nail on the end, and walk along and poke the trash and put it in the bag. And so I spend several hours doing that. And so I said to a friend later in the day, my friend said, "Oh, today your volunteer day?" And I said, "Yeah." And my friend said, "Well, how did it go?" And I said, "Well, I was on trash duty." And I said, "Everyone should now and then have to pick up trash." That's just, there's something something about that everyone just now and then should have to do. Because if you start to feel a little uppity about yourself, if you start to feel like maybe you're more important or than you actually are, a little too full of yourself, you go out there and pick up trash for a few hours and you get kind of dropped down a little bit back where everyone else is. There's something very humbling about that experience of picking up the trash that other people have thrown on the ground. It's hard to think of yourself as superior to others when you're doing that. Now, that's an experience that will teach you. If you do that, that experience will teach you humility. We often don't think of the things that we do as teachers. We think to ourselves, we think, okay, I want to learn something, and we think, okay, I'm going to read a book, go to a lecture, take a class, and I will gain that knowledge. I will learn something, and that is right. You know, that's one way that we learn. There's a big university just right over there where that's dedicated to that style of learning. But we sometimes don't realize that the experiences that we have can be teachers as well. The things that we do, the things we choose to do, can teach us. Picking up trash taught me humility. You go visit people in a nursing home, and that will teach you the value of the elderly. I was sharing a couple days ago, but when I was about 13 years old, my church, we had a mission trip to Mexico City to an orphanage that our church supported there. That was a turning point in my life as a young teen to experience that and to see that side of life and to see a different part of the world. That experience was a teacher for me. So for our soup and study through the season of Lent, as we shared earlier, we're focusing on a book by Adam Hamilton called The Walk. And Adam Hamilton is a pastor of a big United Methodist Church in Kansas City. And he written a lot of books, a lot of good stuff. But in this book that we're focusing on in the soup and study, we're focusing upon five essential practices, five things that we do that are essential for our Christian walk. And so what I want to do here on Sunday mornings as well is to make the topic of each one of those weeks the topic of our time here for Sunday morning. And so the things that we're going to talk about here through these next few weeks are worship and prayer, study, serve, give, and share. And what Adam Hamilton is saying is these are things that we as Christians, we do. And when we do these things, we learn. We grow as Christians. So if you come to the soup and study, we're going to focus more on the book. Sunday morning will be a little different, same topic, different material. So if you go to both, you're really, really going to get it. If you can just come to one or the other, that's okay too. You're going to get it as well. But there's a little duplication. But like I said, same topic, different material. So, but for today, what I want to talk about is worship and prayer, and particularly the first part of that, worship. Now, the fact that you're here means you've already done your homework. You're already ahead of the game. I am preaching to the converted here today because what I'm going to do is to tell you that it's important. What you're doing right now is really important. So, I'm preaching to the converted. We're told in Psalm 100, Psalm 100 is sort of like an invitation to church. It's a welcome to worship. Now, usually, if you invite someone to church, you say things like, well, you know, why don't you come to my church? I think you'd like the church. The people are nice. They're really friendly. The music is good. I think you'll enjoy the music. You say, I guess the pastor, he's okay too. You know, we put up with him. But you say, okay, I think you'll like it here. Why don't you come and give it a try? And those are usually the kind of things that we tell people if we would welcome someone to church. But the reason that we're given in the psalm for worship is a little different. It invites us to worship, but it's not just us. It's the whole world. The whole inhabited world is invited to worship. And it says this. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Like I said, it's inviting the whole world, everyone, into worship. But it's inviting us more than just into worship, but it's inviting all of us into connection with God. It says, know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us. We are his. We are the people. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. What it's saying is, okay, God is creator, we are creation, God is the shepherd, we are the sheep. It does the same thing, kind of repeats it again in verses 4 and 5. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise, give thanks to him, bless his name. And then the explanation again, then why we do it, for the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, his faithfulness to all generations. What it's basically saying is, okay, come to worship, come to church because of this, because of who God is. It's saying join in joyful worship because God is good and loving and faithful. And our worship, this worship thing that we do, is a response to that. In worship, we're invited to know who God is and to share our thankful praise knowing that's who God is. Now, here's the thing. Here's the important part. You need to do what Psalm 100 is describing. You need to worship. It is a thing, a practice that you need to do. Now, God is the audience of our worship. This is not a show put on to entertain you. God is the audience of our worship. But you still, as the worshiper, you need to do this. And it's kind of like this. And I've learned this with having our little guy in the house. that where there's the constant teaching of what we call the nice words. Now, you know what the nice words are, don't you? Please and thank you, excuse me, I'm sorry, you know, use your nice words. You've heard the, now, our little guy is really good about doing this. He'll say more wah-wah please or thank you, daddy. I mean, it's already kind of ingrained in a little bit, and when he does that, we'll say, okay, thank you for using your nice words. We appreciate that. My mom was real big on this, on use your nice words, and more than just in your conversation, write a thank you note, she would say. My grandma, I'd be in college, and my grandma would send me a card, and there'd be $25 in the card, and I was dead broke then, so that was a really good thing to have. And whoops, technology is great until it isn't here. Now I got to fast forward again. Here we go. We'll find it. Okay, here we go. My grandma would send me $25, and like I said, I was dead broke, and so I was more than happy for the $25. But then I'd be talking with my mom on the phone, and she'd say, "Well, did you get the card from your grandma?" And yeah. Now you really need to send her a thank you note. And so I'd write a note and say, "Grandma, thank you for the $25. I really need it. School's going great. Look forward to seeing you on Thanksgiving. Love, Jason." And now it's kind of ingrained because my mom told me that again and again. I've got thank you cards and note cards and things like that, and so that's something that I enjoy doing. Now, when you say thank you, or when you write a thank you card, who's the audience? The one you're thanking, isn't it? It's not you, it's the one you're thanking. But the point is, and you probably were taught this, and you probably taught your kids as well, it's important for the one who says thanks to say thank you. It's not just about the thankee, but it's the thanker. It's important for the thanker to say that. Because it teaches, when you do that, when you say thank you, it teaches thankfulness in your own heart. It teaches you to appreciate what you're given. It teaches you not to feel like you're just owed things or just things come. Just you know, but it teaches you to appreciate another's generosity. And so when we say thank you, we're taken out of our selfishness. And we're caused to recognize, to say, okay, this person did this for me. This person, I need to appreciate what this person did for me. I need to express my appreciation. I don't want to just let this pass, but I need to say thank you. You learn something by doing that. Whenever you say thank you, you learn that gratitude. Imagine a life with no thank yous at all, where there is no appreciation for what another has done for you. That's a bleak, lonely, selfish life without any thank yous, isn't it? Imagine your family life where there's no gratitude there. You probably have a hard time being family if there's no gratitude, when there's no appreciation and no expression of it. Learning to say thank you draws you out of that bleak, lonely life, and saying thank you places you into community, into connection, into appreciation with others. And then when you do that, when you express your thankfulness and you realize what another's done, then you want to do the same for others as well. It kind of reduplicates it. I often quote this from Meister Eckhart. He was a German medieval mystic theologian, and this is about the only thing. I've tried to read his books, and I just couldn't do it, but this part I got, and it's really good. He says, if the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. I love that sense of, okay, if that's the only prayer you get to is thank you, then that's enough. That's what our worship is, isn't it, sisters and brothers? Is our thank you to God. When we gather like this, like I said, it's not a show just for us. It's a chance for us to get together and to express our thanks to God. Now, it's not that God sits around and says, well, I hope these people really get together and tell me how wonderful I am. You know, I don't believe that's who God is. But we gather to say thank you because we are thankful. We know who God is, and we want to express our thanks. And that's what the psalm is telling us. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Because we are God's people, the sheep of God's pasture. The Lord is good. God's faithfulness is for all generations. We need to do that, what that psalmist is describing. We need to do what we're doing right now, to come together and to worship and to give thanks. Just like your parents probably taught you, we as Christians, we need to say thanks. Because when we do this, what we're gathered here, right together, like I said, I'm preaching to the converted right now. You're doing it already. But when we do this, it reminds us who God is. It reminds us what God has done for us. And it reminds us who we are in the light of who God is and what God has done for us. It draws us out of our own little world, and it places us in a much bigger, better picture. You learn by expressing your thanks to God and worship. You learn by doing what you're doing right now. So I'm so glad you've chosen to do it today. Amen.